Council Keelan, please call the roll.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Knapps.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. This meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to the council clerk by emailing the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you again for your ongoing patience, flexibility, and understanding as we work through these challenges to conduct the city's business. And with that, we'll hear the rules of order and decorum from the city attorney. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the city council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify. However, the presiding officer will dictate the amount of time today. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected for the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that council meetings are recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. Keelan, our one item this afternoon is item 153.
A settlement of estate of Quanis Hayes, wrongful death lawsuit in the sum of $1,500,000 plus costs of $595,081 involving the Portland Police Bureau.
Colleagues, his name was Quanis Hayes. While I'm grateful we reached a settlement with the Hayes family, we all know that money does not and cannot replace a lost son, relative, or friend. I understand that for the Hayes family, this case was about finding answers. For me, the fundamental lesson from the death of Quanis Hayes is this: every shooting, no matter the circumstances, creates waves of trauma that begin with those directly involved and then ripple outward until our entire community is impacted. Families, doctors, nurses, neighbors, first responders, all of us. Today is an opportunity to ask ourselves, what will each of us do to improve the public structures and systems that too often are unable to prevent the circumstances that cause us to be here today? When other systems and interventions have failed, young men, particularly Black and Brown men, too often are failed by our education, employment, and other systems. It's clear there's immense trauma that precedes every law enforcement action. And the trauma doesn't end there. Whatever we acknowledge, we all suffer. The trauma doesn't end, and it only evolves with time. It's up to each of us to guide that evolution towards upstream solutions, towards reconciliation, towards peaceful resolutions that build community instead of harming it. I find myself asking, which upstream systems failed? What are we doing as individuals in this system to create the wraparound services that lead to different choices and better outcomes? We're all part of it. We perpetuate it. We operate within it. A family and so many others are now suffering as a result. Civil litigation is always uncertain, but it allows all parties to begin the healing process. I urge my colleagues to support this effort today. And with that, I will turn it over to our legal counsel. And it's my understanding that legal representation for the Hayes family have asked for permission to speak today, which we will grant during invited testimony. And I believe there are a few members of the Hayes family here as well who would like to testify during invited testimony. And with that, I'll turn it over to legal counsel.
That's correct, Mayor. This is Robert Taylor, the city attorney. And I believe I see Mr. Stephen Hayes signed up and the attorney who handled this for the plaintiffs, Ashley Albies. Ashley, are there others that are here for invited testimony?
I believe just Stephen Hayes is here for the family for the invited testimony. Mr. Jesse Merrithew is also present, who is my co-counsel on this case.
We would turn it over to you, Ashley, and your client.
Stephen, would you like to go first?
Sure, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Thank you guys for seeing us today. I appreciate this. I don't have much to say. I do welcome the opportunity. I just wanna get my feelings out and just make sure you guys understand where I'm coming from. We're in this neighborhood. We're in this community. I love this community. I run a business here. We're gonna be here and we love it here, just that simple. I have some problems with this case still. The financial compensation and all that good stuff, I appreciative. It's gonna help my sister dramatically. But I still don't feel that that's accountability. Officer Hurst, he shot somebody before. And both cases, I mean, it's stated that both, he was wrong in both cases. I sat through every deposition with all the officers and all that good stuff. Officer Hurst didn't have any remorse in the deposition. I sat across the room for him. And that was a rough, probably one of the worst things I've been through in my life. And I've been to a couple, I was deployed to Iraq a couple times. That was one of the worst things I had to endure, with this man not showing any remorse for killing one of my family members. It's my personal belief that after something like this, a second time that something like this happens, my personal belief is that he should not be carrying a gun at all. My personal belief is he shouldn't have a job. Now, but if he has a job, he shouldn't carry a gun. I mean, you're not gonna be accountable with, you know, what the responsibility that, you know, the city has given you. You should not be allowed to, you know, carry that gun. I mean, it's just that simple. And the last thing I wanted to point out, I mean, this whole 4-year process, the bigger issue for me is, you know, I wanted some change in policies and practices and things like that, which that falls on the city. You know, you have this officer who's done this deed more than once, and something's missing, something's wrong in our policy, something's wrong where this isn't corrected, in my opinion. He's still working. We still don't have body cameras. That's one of the things I think, you know, after so many of these cases happening in the city, that's one step we should go to. I mean, that's what I believe. I don't have much to say, but my biggest thing is that I don't believe Officer Hurst should be still carrying a weapon. From my opinion, once this happened, he was given a promotion. He's in a different area of the police force, and he seems to like it. And there was no accountability. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Stephen. We appreciate your being here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Stevie. So good afternoon, council members, Mayor Wheeler. My name is Ashley Albies. Along with Mr. Merrithew, we represented the Hayes family throughout this case. Mayor Wheeler, as you mentioned, we filed this case because the family wasn't getting a whole lot of information about what happened to Qantas. And if you go back and look at our tort claim notice, we just wanted to understand, the family wanted to understand what happened to their loved one. We know now more facts about this case than when the grand jury was convened and issued a no true bill for Officer Hurst. And I think that it's important to note that there were a number of facts in this case that were uncontested. Qantas was subject to lawful arrest. We don't contest that, that he could have been taken into custody for allegations of his conduct that morning. When they cornered him at the location, he was surrounded by at least 10 police officers. There were no law enforcement witnesses, non-law enforcement witnesses that were there. There's no dispute that Qantas was largely compliant with officer commands to crawl out, to put his hands up. And ultimately, he was given a command to get on his face. It's important to note that it's not disputed. No police officer at any time saw him with a gun. He was reported to be armed, absolutely. But no officer saw him with a gun. He did not threaten any officers. He did not brandish a weapon at any officers. And he was largely compliant when surrounded by law enforcement. Officer Hurst testified in both the grand jury and at his deposition that he was absolutely certain that Qantas Hayes was reaching for his waistband and reaching for a gun. We know that that's not true because Qantas Hayes, after he was killed, did not have a gun on him. It was found a few feet away from him. And Officer Hurst testified with absolute certainty that he knew that his life was in jeopardy. And my issue, and the issue that the family has with this and many community members, is that Officer Hurst was wrong. The biomechanical experts that both the plaintiff's counsel hired and the city hired show, the physical evidence shows, that Qantas was leaning forward to get on the ground at the time that Officer Hurst fired his first gunshot. And he shot him three times, twice in the torso and once in the head. And Qantas Hayes was getting on the ground and falling into the path of bullets. And that tells us that Officer Hurst was wrong. Qantas was not reaching for his waistband. He was getting on the ground. I know that many people in our community have, upon learning this, myself included, have tried from being on their knees to getting on the ground without putting your hands down. It's impossible, but it's consistent with Qantas following officer commands as he had been doing that morning. The OIR group that the city has paid quite a bit of money to over the years has conducted reviews of officer-involved shootings, and in particular with the Hayes case, gave recommendations and critique about how things could have and should have gone differently. The officers that we talked to during depositions in this case had not reviewed the OIR group report in depth with any command staff. And I think that's critical, and that's very important, because the officers on the ground are the ones that are going to be implementing any recommendations or changes to policy. And they had not reviewed that report to see whether they could self-reflect on anything they could have or should have done differently. In addition, you know, it became really clear during the course of this case that the city condoned Officer Hurst's conduct. The city police department testified, one of their witnesses, that Officer Hurst was acting consistently with training, consistent with policy, consistent with police practices. And so the question I have, if killing a surrendering young Black man is an acceptable risk for this city, and that's okay, and it's consistent with the way that the city trains its police department, I think that we need to be transparent about that with our community, that that's an acceptable risk. It's not acceptable to me, it's not acceptable to the Hayes family, and it's not acceptable to many members of our community, and it should not be acceptable to you. So the question that I have is, what is the city going to do differently or going to do moving forward to ensure something like this does not happen to anybody else? Thank you.
Thank you. Robert, I'm leaving it to you to facilitate. And I think you're muted.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. And Mr. Hayes, thank you for your testimony. And Ms. Albies, thank you for your testimony as well. We have Bill Manlove as the litigator in our office who handled the case, and Jessica Bird from Risk Management is here if there are any questions from counsel on the settlement. At this point, I'm not sure if there's anybody signed up to give public testimony on this.
There is, Robert. Commissioner Hardesty has her hand raised. I know we do have open testimony. Let's leave open testimony till after we've heard the full presentation. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Robert, I was just trying to get a sense of what the protocol is going to be today. I don't believe any of us, maybe the mayor, has participated in a forum as of this. And I understand that the Hayes family is here. There's other invited testimony. Is there an opportunity? What would you like from council? I certainly have a statement that I want to put on the record. But I would just like to know what the process will be. I don't want to interrupt the family or the folks that have been invited, but just want to get a sense for how this afternoon is going to go.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. The Hayes family did ask for an opportunity to present as invited testimony, and I believe that presentation has concluded. I don't know that we have other invited testimony from the family. Right now, I think it would be, I think you could hear from anybody who signed up to testify and then provide council statements at the conclusion of that.
Robert, if I may, it sounds like you also have a presentation. Is that correct?
We have Jessica Bird from Risk Management and also Bill Manlove, the litigator who handled the case, who are here to answer any questions that council might have on this.
They don't have a presentation. It's just if we have follow-up questions, they're available to answer them.
That's correct.
All right, so colleagues, would you like to ask questions or make statements now, or would you prefer we hear public testimony first? Let's go with public testimony. Keelan, how many folks do we have signed up?
Mayor, we have 5 people.
Very good. 3 minutes each, please. Name for the record.
First up, we have Dan Handelman.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Council. This is Dan Handelman with Portland Coffeewatch. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Hello. I can hear you.
So I just want to start by saying that Portland Cop Watch wants to make it clear that we are not in any way, shape, or form opposed to the settlement. Family has agreed to. We want to support their decision to do that. I also appreciate that the mayor opened up by talking a little bit about the broader implications of this case, and that the family and the lawyers for the victim in this case were allowed to testify. I've not seen that before in my many, many years of attending these settlements at council. So I appreciate that effort that was put into that. However, I want to make it really clear that when the city starts talking about systems that failed the young person who was killed by the police, it's deflecting from the fact that the police are the ones that took the young man's life. And as Qantas' uncle, I think, was talking about, he was shot by an officer who has a previous history of shooting somebody in a mental health crisis. That officer was cleared of any wrongdoing by the internal investigation. And because there's no jury making a decision about this case, there's not going to be a new investigation into any facts that came out that Ms. Albies was talking about to hold the officer accountable. So that is problematic. We hope that maybe the city will undertake a secondary investigation based on the facts that did come out during the lawsuit. We're very concerned about the deadly force incidents, and that about 24% of deadly force in this city is used against Black people in a city that has 6% African-American population. We're also concerned that the US DOJ and the compliance officer talk about these shootings as kind of anomalies in the uses of force, that they only happen from time to time, so they're not a pattern. If you look over the years, there are definitely patterns in these deadly force cases, especially an uptick in deadly force against people in mental health crisis since the DOJ came to town. What is interesting in a way is that Quantas Hayes was the first African-American shot and killed by the Portland police after Keaton Otis was killed in 2010. In fact, the anniversary of his death is coming up at the end of this week. It'll be another vigil remembering Keaton Otis. So, but there was a long streak where there were no African-Americans killed by Portland police. And then all of a sudden there were four or five shootings in a row. Not all of them were killed, but it was very strange. And then an officer, as we know, a sergeant, made an off-color remark at roll call, and I use that term deliberately, for which he was almost disciplined, but then he agreed to resign in lieu of being punished. So there are a lot of ramifications from this case. Again, we continue to encourage you to go ahead with the settlement, but we hope that as you've heard from the other testifiers, that you will take other actions independent of the settlement, make sure that things like this don't happen again. And the city really shows remorse and outreach and reconciliation is something they want to have with the community of Portland.
Thank you, Dan, appreciate it. Keelan, the next individual, please.
Next up, we have Edith Gillis.
Good afternoon, Edith. Edith, are you unmuted?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. You're good to go.
I support the Hayes family and their wishes. Show true care, respect, and social duty to the victims of these violent and ongoing crimes against Venus, Donnie, Gigi, and the rest of Moose's family and community. Honor the wishes of this whole family with their diverse ways of grieving and healing. Stop hurting and re-traumatizing them. Protect them from further harm. Stop libeling, slandering, victim blaming, costing, doxing, and harassing them. Let them get on with their healing and lives. Do your job to hold the criminal cops accountable. Establish justice and prevent further violent crimes and corruption by the Portland police and city. Beyond the settlement, which I want you to promptly give them, each of you give them a personal apology today. Show them a sincere change in your personal and city policies and practices. Acknowledge the wrongs and harm done. Sincerely and deeply express empathy for their unmet needs and feelings, and do all you can to prevent others from being violent crime victims and other crime victims of Portland police, politicians, and lawyers. Align the funding, resources, and power to proven prevention of crime, such as parks, rec, mental health, housing, civil rights, cultural diversity, sensitivity, humility. Pay additionally for confidential grief counseling and rehousing as they need and request. I love them dearly. They deserve far better.
Thank you, Edith.
Next up, we have Fiona Burgess.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you sound good. You're good to go.
Hello, my name is Fiona Burgess, and I'm a lifelong resident of Portland, currently living in the Hayhurst neighborhood in Southwest. I obviously can't speak for the Hayes family, nor the Black community in Portland, but I do not think it takes membership in a community impacted by systemic violence to speak out against systemic violence. And I want to remind everyone listening that that's what this is. Systemic violence, not an isolated incident. And while I believe the Hayes family has every right to compensation and the should also receive the wraparound services that Edith has mentioned, I want to join them in saying that this money will never be able to replace Qantas's life or fix the system that murdered him. Patrick Kimmons, Andre Gladden, Terrell Johnson, Keaton Otis, Aaron Campbell, James Chassie Jr., James Jahar Perez, Kendra James, and countless others who I have not been given the time to name today. I am personally of the mind that we need something better in our community than the police, and we have the tools to build that. But again, I am not speaking for the Hayes family when I say that. I think at the bare minimum, the city should admit its own fault for the shooting, fire Officer Hurst for this despicable act, and end qualified immunity for the Portland Police Bureau. I don't know if there's a place for justice for Quanis Hayes in this place we call the United States today, but I wish Ms. V.S. Hayes all the best in her departure, and I hope she finds someplace better for her family than Portland. I yield my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Halo Space Foundation.
Welcome.
Are you able to unmute? It looks like they may be having trouble trying to unmute.
Why don't we go to the next individual and we'll see if we can get them later.
Next up, we have Terrence Hayes.
Welcome.
Thank you. So first off, I just want to say clearly that the fact that nothing has changed in Portland police practices concerning these type of matters 4 years later is astounding, but not surprising. The fact that Andrew Hurst still works for the Portland Police Bureau and me and my family have to navigate these streets every day is astounding. And the fact that we still have a mayor who has changed nothing and done nothing concerning these things is not surprising. Let's be clear about that. I didn't expect anything from you. You've not impressed me or surprised me with your behavior since my cousin was murdered. Concerning this settlement situation, I have no vested interest in it. I don't think that there's anything that Portland can offer my cousin financially that will ever make up for our loss, and specifically hers as a mother. My family still, it's interesting because I see people and they sympathetic looks, but their lives haven't changed. They don't fight for change. They don't do the work necessary for change. So that means nothing to me, because at the end of the day, that officer is still involved in this community and still are putting people at risk that live in Portland. But again, I'm not surprised by all this. What I will say is that my cousin has decided to settle in whatever capacity. I think that even if you don't agree with it, that you should do your best to support her decision to do what's necessary for her and her babies to move forward. And I appreciate anybody that even scoffs at this city's response to that loss, but I will still ask that you support her and her decision for her and her babies. I got to look at my kids every day, and they will never know Quanis, and they will never have an understanding of that loss. And that's our family's pain. And no matter what you guys attempt to do, that's just a fact for us. And so I just pray that amongst all this, that if this is what's necessary for my cousin to move forward with her babies and do something better, that no one can test this or use this as an opportunity to act like they care when historically they haven't. And when you look at the things they've done concerning the matter, they don't care. For everybody who do care, and I know your heart, we see what you're doing. We appreciate you. Our family talks about you, and we're grateful for the things you've done. You know who you are. We're very grateful for you. And I just pray that if anybody ever chooses to do different, then keep Quanis in mind on this matter. Thank you.
Let's try it, Halo Space Foundation. Are you able to unmute? Okay, so we can go to the next person then, Donna Hayes.
Well, hello.
Hello, we can hear you loud and clear, Donna.
Okay, thank you for your time. mine is just quick. You know, I think about Qantas. And, you know, people say, oh, you're getting this money, you're getting that money. There's no amount of money that can bring him back. I will always have this pain in my heart. But I think about Qantas and when he was young and he got his first job. The first thing he did was take and go buy his sibling something. He took them and got them ice cream, went down the street and got tacos. This would have been this boy still, if he was alive today, still purchasing things for his siblings, giving his mother a little bit of money to help her out, whatever was needed in the house. And with him gone, this is missing. Like I say, there's no amount of money that can bring him back. We're not trying to pay for his life. My daughter needs to move on, just like my nephew said, need to move on. And by you agreeing to this settlement, what might help her move on. We'll always have that hole in our heart missing Qantas. And if you hear me say moose, y'all know why. I love that little child. Everyone loved him. He was a great young man. And we're just asking you all to do the right thing. We're not asking for no great sum. This girl is taking a settlement because she's tired of her name being dragged through the mud. Help her out. It's in your hands. And I just thank you for your time.
Thank you, Donna.
Okay, let's try one more time, Halo Space Foundation. Okay, it doesn't look like they're unmuting, so that concludes public testimony.
All right, thank you. So colleagues, at this point, I would ask you if you have any questions, further questions of legal counsel. Seeing none, Keelan, please call the roll.
Rubio.
Thank you, Mayor. And I want to also really thank the Hayes family for your truth today. Today, we say his name, Qantas Hayes. Qantas's time in this world was cut way too short. Our institutions failed him, failed to keep him safe, and his family too. I'm grateful and honored to listen to your testimony today. It's been an important moment for us to speak and listen to this. And to you, the family, I can't fathom the pain, the exhaustion, and the anger that you feel with this loss, and the pain of knowing that his premature death occurred at the hands of police and a system that professes safety and justice. I also feel compelled to apologize also for the harmful and negative mischaracterizations about Qantas's mother and family that were first included in the city's initial legal response to this tragedy last year. And all of this is horrifying and wrong. And it is, in its way, a part of the story of why thousands of people in Portland and around the world called for justice for Black lives last year and still are doing so. No mother or parent or family member or friend or community should have to endure this kind of compounded trauma. So I'm voting for this settlement today, while also recognizing that we as a council need to get very clear that this settlement could never, ever equate, just as the family said, with justice or with Qantas, and will never fill the hole in the hearts of the family. Justice is change and it's accountability and it's rooting out systemic and fatal racism in order to prevent even one more death. And just as we heard from Mr. Hayes, resettling this case without accountability for the officer and with no assurances for our Black community members that they are any safer since Juanes was killed. And this ugly history of violence, we can't erase it, but we can start walking our talk and living up to the values we continuously say that we believe in, like authentically engaging with community to reimagine a safety system together, working with our partners to make long overdue and substantive and visible changes to our public safety system. And I know my colleagues will agree that we all want to make this the very last case where we come together for these reasons. So let's finish what Portlanders and what the family has asked us to do and develop community-centered, responsive ways to make our community safe. And that's how we honor Juanes and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery. So I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yeah, thank you and good afternoon. I want to start by thanking the family who's here today and testified. Thank you, Terrence Hayes. Thank you, Miss Donna Hayes. And thank you, Stephen Hayes. And thank you for your service to our country as well. Juanes Hayes, his life matters. Black lives matter. And we, Portland, must do more to support the lives of Black, young Black men. I'm sorry this tragedy happened. We must do better. Today, I'm thinking of Juanes, and I'm definitely thinking of the Hayes family. And we will do better by you. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
First, I want to thank Stephen Hayes, Terrence Hayes, and Ashley Albies for their testimony today. Ashley, I want to give you an special thank you because I know what it's like looking for a lawyer that would be willing to sue the police when you believe the police has harmed or killed your loved one. And I know that you are one of those justice fighters that will do no matter what it takes to represent people who are desperate for representation. So I want to thank you for that. Stephen Haynes, I want to answer your question about body cams and ask you, how many times have we seen people killed and brutalized on body cams without prosecution, without conviction, without accountability? I am exhausted by all the body cam footage I've seen that has never, ever, ever led to justice. In fact, community members filming the police during their job has worked much more often than body cameras to hold police accountable for inappropriate behavior. And so when I came to City Hall, I made it my commitment to kill what was going to be a pilot project on body cams. So that's why Portland Police doesn't have body cams. And for the millions we'd have to invest, the police would own the data, the police would decide when it became public, and the police would decide what became public. There is no accountability built into a system that actually allows the police to own the data. So I just wanted to make sure you had an answer to that question before you left today. Ms. Donna Hayes, I hope you are okay with me starting with your words because I couldn't say them better. I'm reading a piece from a letter that Donna Hayes, grandmother of Quincy Hayes, has shared as Pacific Northwest Family Circle's website. As many of you know, the Pacific Northwest Family Circle is an all-volunteer community group that supports Oregon and Washington families whose loved ones were killed or injured by police. Ms. Hayes wrote, "As Moose's grandmother, I missed the times we had to be alone. I could talk to him about anything. We talked about the latest music because at my age, and mine too, Ms. Hayes, I was behind the time, pretty much stuck on music from the 80s. He introduced me to Jesse McCartney's song, Beautiful Soul. He was so sure I would love this song, and I do. I play it now, and it breaks my heart because he had a beautiful soul. Quinice was a talented young man. Dancing and sports were his greatest achievements. Whatever the new dance was, he could do it. All you had to do was ask him to do it. And he would show you how it was done. He was great at traditional sports. He played basketball and football and baseball, but he also played non-traditional sports like lacrosse. Not only did he play these different sports, he was good at each one. Moose was a natural athlete. Moose was a hero to his siblings. His sister has to step into a role that isn't hers, nor is she ready for. She was the sibling that was always at odds with her brother. They played practical jokes with each other just to see who could get the best of each other. His little brothers looked up to him. And when they had a problem, they ran straight to Moose. When they thought their mother was wrong, they went to him, and he in turn went to his mother to hash out the problem. He now has a brother who will not know him and how Moose cared about him. He loved his siblings, and now they've lost their hero. One of the hardest things was to tell them that Moose is not coming back. Every once in a while, they'll inquire on whether Moose is coming back. His siblings feel his loss terribly, as we all do. Just as we cannot understand why, they have it worse because they don't understand the idea of death. Hearing us talk about police, they've grown a very unhealthy fear of law enforcement. Quanice was a teenager, 17 years old. This should not have happened. Quanice Hayes should still be alive today. Instead, officers at the scene played judge, jury, and executioner that day, and they killed a 17-year-old boy on his knees. I want to apologize to the family of Quanice Hayes. While dealing with this unimaginable hardship, grief, and trauma, you have witnessed an attempted character assassination of Quanice, his mother, and other members of the Hayes family. I am so sorry you have to deal with this. I genuinely hope this settlement provides some level of relief after all the trauma and hardship the Hayes family has had to endure. But let me be clear. What is happening today is not justice. It's not accountability. This decision does nothing to fix our broken system. Which brings me to a very important point that I want Portlanders to understand. As you know, earlier this week, the trial began for Officer Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. We are also coming up on the anniversary of the murder of Breonna Taylor at the hands of law enforcement. What today should make us realize is that the Portland Police Bureau is not an exception to a deeply systematic, racist, toxic culture with brutality that we see in police departments all across the country. In fact, by the numbers, we have one of the most brutal police forces with some of the highest racial disparities and outcomes in the entire country. According to the Oregonian, Portland police reported 6,283 uses of force during protests between May and the end of September last year. The Oregonian noted the actual number is likely much higher due to data gaps in which Portland Police Bureau provided to city hired consultants. For example, according to police, the use of police batons to, and I quote, give an individual who demonstrates no resistance, unquote, was not considered use of force. As recently reported by OPB, Black people in Portland are arrested at a rate 4.5 times higher than white Portlanders. Portland police kill Black people at a rate 3.9 times higher than white people in Portland. These are the fifth worst racially disparate outcomes in the country. The city of Portland has spent a significant amount of taxpayer dollars on Portland Police Bureau related to settlement agreements over the years. And every time this happens, we know we are not seeing justice. This is harming our community and making it increasingly difficult for Portlanders to trust their police bureau, especially among Black, Brown, Indigenous, Latinx, immigrants, and other communities of color. What happened to George Floyd? What happened to Breonna Taylor? These are incidents that happened right here in Portland as well. In Portland is Quanice Hayes, executed on his knees. It's Tony Stevenson, killed by a chokehold in 1985, when Portland Police Bureau officers responded by creating and selling t-shirts, smoke them, don't choke them. It's 2003, the killing of Kendra James during a traffic stop. It's 2010, with the killing of Erin Campbell and Keaton Notice. One, because he looked like he might be a gang member, and the other, because of a welfare check. It's the 40 fatal incidents at the hands of Portland police that have occurred since Kendra James lost her life. And now, it's the killing of a teenager, Quanice Hayes. Despite some of the spin out there, I am not anti-police and I am not a cop hater. I have said over and over again, police have a role in our society, but we need a different kind of policing that doesn't view Portlanders as their enemy, that doesn't racially profile our Black and Brown communities, that doesn't coddle white supremacists and right-wing extremists, that doesn't brutalize our press and peaceful demonstrators, that doesn't use chemical weapons on the people of Portland, and ultimately a police bureau that is held accountable when there is misconduct. We are already in the process of rethinking our first responders to 911. The Portland Street Response is about sending help, not handcuffs. It's about leading with compassion and thoughtfully resolving issues they encounter. I hope Portlanders will join me in continuing to advocate for a robustly funded Portland Street Response so we can bring this pilot project in Lentz citywide next year. I want to end with a call to action. If we want to truly hold Portland Police Bureau accountable in these kind of incidents, we need a strong and empowered system of independent community police oversight. We need a system that Portlanders can trust when it finds allegations of misconduct, sustained or not. Portland voters approved and provided a mandated demand, demanding police accountability when an overwhelming 82% of voters passed measure 26-217 to allow the formation of this new police oversight board. So Stephen Hayes, help is on its way. Right now, Portlanders can head to rethinkportland.com to apply to help put the final pieces of that board together. The application is open for 5 more days until March 15th. In order for our new oversight board to be fully empowered, I'm asking those listening today to write your state legislators in support of Senate Bill 621, authored by State Representative Lou Frederick. We need state legislature bill, Senate Bill 621 to pass in order to fully empower this new oversight board. 2021 is the year that we must unequivocally prove that Black Lives Matter, not just by repeating a slogan, but through action. With your help, Portland, we can do this. And please stay peaceful, but be loud, be disruptive, and don't be afraid to get into good trouble to keep up the pressure so we can have a system of community safety all of Portland will trust. Thank you. I vote aye.
Maps.
Mr. Mayor, colleagues, I'd like to take a moment to thank the Hayes family for their testimony today. And as a member of City Council, I feel compelled to apologize to the Hayes family for the pain and suffering that the city has caused you. We're brought together today by a tragedy. A family has lost a beloved son. His name was Quanice Hayes. The death of a child from police contact is the ultimate nightmare of every Black parent. And as a Black dad, I know this deep in my bones. I also know that no amount of money will heal the pain caused by the death of a child. While this council cannot undo this tragedy, we can and we must take steps to make sure that tragedies like this never happen again. That's why I'm offering three solutions, which I'm urging this council to look into, which I believe will make our public safety system more just. First, I'm pushing for a new form of citizen-led independent police review. Second, I've heard the Hayes family's plea that the Portland Police Bureau adopt body cams, and out of respect to the family, I urge this council to look into this question. And third, I'm pushing for a new approach to public safety, one which rejects militarized approach to keeping the public safe. I'm pushing for an approach to public safety which emphasizes prevention and rehabilitation. And finally, I'm pushing for a new approach to public safety, one which places this value front and center. Black lives matter. And with that, Mr. Mayor and my colleagues, I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Colleagues, I made my statement up front. I appreciate the words of my colleagues. I appreciate the Hayes family being here. We have been challenged, and I believe this council is uniformly in favor of taking up the challenge, and we will. I vote aye. The ordinance is approved. The settlement is agreed to. We are adjourned.